Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
You know your pastor, I know your pastor, and I keep thinking, she likes to drop people in it. And I told her earlier, I thought I was coming down just to share a visit and say hello to everybody. The next thing I know, she's put it on the internet as a financial breakthrough conference. So I thought, well, I better do a bit more reading than I thought I was going to do. And then I thought, well, where do I start? Because I've got tonight and then tomorrow morning. And I thought, well, how do I share just in two sessions the last 25 years of our lives? Because that's what it is. It's just it's a testimony of God, really. Because Jesus is amazing. There's no way to say it any other way. Jesus is just amazing. And what I like to do is I like people to just sort of in our church, I say, before I start preaching, just give the person either side of you a nudge. And just tell them God is good all the time. So go on, go and preach to one another. And it's something that you need reminding of. We all need it all the time. You know, when the enemy attacks and things are going on, we have to remember God is good all the time. Okay? So let's just pray, shall we? Father, I thank you tonight for your great grace. And I thank you, Father, for your great love. And Father, I declare tonight breakthrough. I pray, Lord, that your word will be spirit and life to every single person here. And I declare great blessing upon every home represented. We thank you, Father, that your word is health to our flesh and strength to our bones. And even though we're looking at finances, we can still be healed, listening to your word. And I declare the release of health and strength as we receive your word in Jesus' name. And Lord, in everything, to you be the glory. Amen. Amen. Okay, just a quick, tonight what I want to do, I want to try to do, is I want to try and bring the spirit of this thing. You know what I mean? You need to catch the spirit. Sometimes we can have our heads full of knowledge, but when you catch the spirit of it, it makes that knowledge real. And we can start to live it and put it into practice. And what I want to do is share the spirit of it, share some testimonies and a few things that God's taught us over quite a long period of time. And then tomorrow I want to concentrate really on the power of consistency in tithes and offerings. And if there's one word I want to really get home, it's consistency. When you get consistency, you break into the flow of the supernatural. Okay, where there's consistency, you get the power. Are you with me? So it's got to be consistent. Now go with me please first to 3 John chapter, verse 2, sorry. And you all know it very well. Just a few verses, or a few words really. And John says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And so right there you've got in the verse, in the scriptures, God's will for our lives. For every single Christian, God's got no favourites, no exceptions. He wants us to prosper in all things and he wants us to be in health. That's God's will. Okay? And we need to really get a hold of it that it is God's will. No matter what's taking place, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter where we are at, God's will, and we need to see things from God's perspective. One of the things God's taught us is always see things from his perspective. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't even look at what other people say sometimes. See it from his perspective. And from God's perspective, he's never changed. It's that we prosper in all things and be in health. Okay? Now, I'm going to try and share a little bit of our testimony just to give you an idea where we've come from. Throughout all of our 20s, we were in business. We're in our mid-50s now. And through our 20s, we were in business, and the business was very successful. But while I was in business, I must be honest, I wasn't walking as close to the Lord as I should. And I came to a place in my early 30s where I just said to Jesus, I says, Lord, I don't care what it costs, I just need you. That's a dangerous prayer. And unless you're ready, don't pray it. Well, I prayed it without knowing. I don't care what it costs, I just need you. And all I can say that happened was God met me. I was in the kitchen. I can know exactly where I was. I was leaning on the worktop when I prayed it. And God just did something in my heart. And it changed everything. Changed my life. It changed our family. It changed everything. And then what happened then was the business that we'd built up, it was successful. It had doubled in size. Suddenly, it was going to be sold. We were in partnership with my parents. They wanted to retire. We had a choice, either to buy my parents out, or we had a choice to, God was speaking to us about stepping out in faith and living the life of faith, and he wanted to open up a ministry for us. We had no ministry at the time. He says, what do you want to do? And we says, Lord, we want to go your way. And so what happened was the business went on the market. It was sold. My parents retired. And going back 25 years or so, our share of the money was about £100,000 in the bank after everything, which was quite good. 25 years ago. It'd be quite good now, really, wouldn't it, sometimes? But 25 years ago, it's quite good. And then I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, I've got a nice little nest egg there. You're calling us into the ministry. I haven't got a clue what the ministry is. I had no desire to be a pastor. I certainly had no desire to pioneer a church or anything like that. But I just knew God. We knew God was calling us. And we thought, right, we've got a nest egg there. You can go, Lord. And nothing happened. And 2 or 3 years went by. A few more years went by. And the money started to go like that. And after a little while, I thought, what's going on? I thought, surely God would do something. Well, I got loads of money in the bank. We're secure. We're safe. The children were at school. And nothing happened. And actually, what happened in the end was we came to the last few thousand in the bank. And I thought, blow this. We booked a holiday in Florida. And we took the kids to Florida. We did every theme park you could possibly. I can still remember it now. I spent £500 on theme park tickets, bus rides and everything. We had nothing. Look, we looked rich. But we were broke when we'd done that. And we came back. We says, Lord, it's over to you. We've now at zero. I've brought it. It's come to a head. If you don't do anything, we're going to lose the house in a month. And that's exactly how it was. But we knew God was calling us. Okay? And nothing happened again. So I went to the job centre, and I was 30. I can't remember, about 32, 33 then. They told me I was unemployable at 33. That's what they told me. You've been self-employed so long, you're unemployable. I said, oh, thank you very much. So I went to I went to try and claim something to try and keep the house going. They says, no, you're not eligible for anything. You've been self-employed too long. You can't have anything. So I said, thank you very much. So we went home, said to Hazel, we've got no help. There's nothing, no finances, no job, no work, nobody to go to. Unless God now does something, we're going to lose a house in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. And then we're going to start. We've lost everything. And suddenly, God started to move in little ways first. Now, I wish I could say that I was full of faith and excited. I wasn't. I was shocked, rigid. I moaned. I groaned. I cried out to God. I did all sorts of things which, looking back, were absolutely silly. God must have had a real laugh when he saw us. But it was a shock to suddenly come to a place where there was nothing. We'd been prosperous all through our 20s, and now we'd stepped out, we believed God was calling us, and there was nothing. And you start thinking, have I got it wrong? Have I made a mistake? Did I really, you know, all those kind of thoughts? Was it really God? And all those kind of things. But underneath it all, I just knew, we knew God was calling us. And he started to, he just dropped us in the deep end. That's the only way I can explain it. In the life of faith, he dropped us in the deep end. And I thought I knew how to pray. I thought I knew the word. I thought I had faith until I had 3 weeks to pay the mortgage and I had to put food on the table every week for the family, only through prayer. We just had to pray it in. And God started to open up little things as we went along. I'll share a few of the testimonies later on. But it was a shock. But we learned God is faithful. And he's always faithful, and that's why I like to get people to give each other a nudge and say, God's good all the time, because no matter what's taking place, God is still always good. And in it, he's always trying to get something to you. Okay? Even if it's not always money, it might be a revelation about how to move on in other things, but he's always trying to get something to you. Okay? And a few years ago, once it had all broken, and I'll share that as I go along, I said to the Lord, why did you wait until we went to nothing? Surely it would have been better when we had plenty of the money in the bank. You know, I wouldn't have had to rely on other things. He says, that's exactly the point. He says, you had to be dependent. He says, I wanted someone who would be dependent totally upon me. And that's another key thing. Consistency is a key thing. But total dependency upon Jesus is another key. And sometimes God doesn't have many people, I've discovered anyway, who will yield to the Holy Spirit to bring them to that place of total dependency upon Jesus. But one of the things we've discovered is that that place of the total dependency, scary as it may seem, the next step from that is miracles. Are you with me? It's miracles. So when you start to see how God sees things and how God works and you start to understand it, and I want to try and share some things with you so you don't get as shocked as I did, or you wonder what's going on like I did. Because when you see how God moves, God is always trying to move you into something greater. And total dependency is the step before the supernatural. Okay, the supernatural breaks out. And that's my next point. What you're looking for all the time is a flow of God's supernatural blessing. And supernatural isn't a weird word. Supernatural simply means above and beyond the ordinary. Okay? It's not like, you know, like Harry Potter type stuff and Christians flying around on broomsticks and all that kind of stuff. No, it's above and beyond the ordinary. And that's the Christian life. The Christian, born-again believer, is meant to live from when they get saved above and beyond the ordinary. Out there's the ordinary. In here is above and beyond the ordinary. That's the Christian. That's our lives. That's what we're supposed to live. It's how God wants us to live. Okay, so it's a supernatural. And what I want to do tonight is try and share some of the keys that God's taught us over the years in breaking into and living in and staying in God's supernatural blessing. And it's not just money, okay? I know we're looking at money, and at the moment, you need a good influx of money for this building, don't you? But it's more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's blessing in every area of your life. Now, one of the first things that I want to share is that in living in this flow, you have to know your value and your importance. Okay? Now, you think, what's that got to do with money or finances? Well, I'll tell you. If you don't know your value and your importance, your expectancy is very low. And one of the things you need is a high level of expectancy. Expecting God to be God. Expecting God to do supernatural things, because it's what he does. And it's what he wants us to enjoy. So you have to have a high level of expectancy. And to have that, you've got to know your value. And you've got to know it from God's perspective. Okay? Now, you know, in the world, if something is worth only what somebody else will pay for it. Isn't that true? A house is only worth what somebody else will pay for it. A car is only worth what somebody else will pay for it. Okay? That's the price tag on whatever it is. If there was a price tag on our lives, it would say purchased by the precious blood of Jesus. Okay? That's our value. And from God's perspective, our value is the precious blood of Jesus. He gave his one and only son so that we could be saved, so that we could become his children, and so that we could live a life above and beyond the ordinary. That's the value of the Christian. And I don't know what it's like down here, but I can tell you up where we are, one of the big breakthroughs that people have to need is knowing their value. So many things in life knock people's, if you like, value of themselves. Life can knock it out of you sometimes. And I might get in trouble for saying it, but even sometimes church can knock it out of you sometimes. I'm not here, but you know, church experiences can knock it out of you sometimes. Things don't always go as they should, but our value is always from God's perspective. It's the precious blood of Jesus was the purchase price for our lives. Now that's a high price. There's no value higher. That's your value from God's perspective. Another thing that God showed us was that we are the apple of his eye. That's our value. And I looked up what that meant a little while ago. And what it means is this. It means little man of the eye, or the pupil of the eye. But what that also means is essential for vision and must be protected at all costs. That's your life. As far as God's concerned, you and me, we are essential for vision. And from God's perspective, we must be protected at all costs. I believe he sends the angels, you know, to protect whenever the believer needs the angels to protect them. Okay? But you are essential. You know, this region, God's got a vision for this region. This is not just a local church. I believe this is a regional thing. Okay? And I always believe when God starts something, it's always bigger than when he starts it. Okay? So I believe you've got great future ahead, actually, down here. But you have to see, we all have to see our value. The purchase price was the precious blood of Jesus. We have to see that we are all essential for vision. And from God's perspective, we must be protected at all costs. I think that's... Once you start to see it and see your value and start to see how God sees us, suddenly your expectancy starts to go up. Now, doesn't the Bible say, he who did not withhold his only son, will he not also along with him graciously give us some things? Oh, I see. I thought you might know the word down here. All things. All things means all things. I like fishing. I love going fishing. I like fly fishing. When I need a fishing rod, that comes under all things. Don't you think so? I think a fishing rod comes under all things. I needed a boat once to go fishing for a little while for a bit different. That came under all things as well. You know, God is good. And he wants our expectancy to be really high. Okay? We need to expect to be blessed. I mean, I'll ask you a question. Do you expect to be blessed? Every day, all the time, expect to be blessed. Okay? We've got to expect it. And it's supernaturally blessed. It's blessed in ways that we can't always understand, but it's still supernatural blessing. God wants us to expect to be blessed. Okay? The word blessed means empowered to prosper. So God wants to supernaturally empower his people to prosper. And that's prosper not just with finances, it's in life. He wants our families prospering. He wants our relationships prospering. He wants our church relationship. It's all part of prospering, okay? And God wants to supernaturally, by his grace, empower us to prosper, okay? It's what he wants to do. It's really good, okay? We need to expect to find the best deals. Do you expect to find the best deal? Okay, I've got a few testimonies in a little while, but you know, I want to tell you, I want to try and help you raise expectancy. Expect the best deal. I've discovered that the Holy Spirit, he's my friend. Okay, I got in trouble going to a church once. God sent me to a church, and I didn't know who they were. They invited me, and I felt God said, go. And when I went, I said to the Lord, what do you want me to preach? He says, talk about your friendship relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I went, I got a few notes, and went, I thought, I'm going to preach about it. I love it. I love working with the Holy Spirit. And when I got there, the pastor's wife met me at the door. Oh, it's lovely to have you. Of course, you do realize they don't like the Holy Spirit here, don't you? And I thought, that's my sermon. And anyway, I stood up. I thought, well, I'm going to go for it anyway. And two people left within the first few minutes. And then the Holy Spirit moved on the rest of the congregation. It was amazing. And I felt the Lord says, there, the blockage is just gone. Anyway, that's another story. Okay. The Holy Spirit loves the best deals. He just loves. I like to go shopping with the Holy Spirit. He loves a deal. It's brilliant. It's a relationship. He loves the best deals. Okay. And I'll share a few in a minute. I've had some good deals, and I think, you know, everybody else can share in it as well. But I'll tell you something else. We need to expect the world. You know, we are inheritors of all the blessings, or heirs of all the blessings of Abraham. One of the blessings God gave Abraham was the world. He said he can have the world. Now, you might not think, oh, I'm going to believe for China, or I'm going to believe for Africa. But I'll tell you what you can expect. You can expect the world around you. You can expect your neighbors. You can expect friends. You can expect your community for Jesus. It's expectancy. When you start to see what God says we can have, all he wants us to do is expect it, believe it, and then go for it. And he loves to do things. God absolutely loves to do things, okay? Expect the world. Another thing I've found is you've got to expect God to be gracious with you while you're learning. And I can tell if he's been gracious with me, he can be gracious with you. Because sometimes we think, oh, I've made the biggest mistake under the sun. I've blown it. I've messed up. That's it. Nothing else is going to happen. Then God does something supernatural and says, your mistakes aren't going to stop you. Just keep your heart right and keep going. Okay? You've got to expect God to be gracious with you while you're learning. Because you'll make mistakes. That's good news, believe it or not. You'll make mistakes. So I tell you why it's good news. It stops you from trying to be perfect. It means you can be yourself. Okay, I'm preaching all sorts of things here. You can be self. All God wants to do is be ourselves. He blesses us when we're ourselves. You haven't got to try to be like anybody else. You just got to be yourself. Another thing we've got to do is expect God to be Father. A true Father is a source. If you think about it, without going on about it too long, a true Father is a source. We have to expect God as our Father to be our source. Once I realize that he's my source, I thought, wow. I mean, it's limitless. HSBC don't come close. Nothing comes close. It's limitless. Absolutely limitless. He's our source. Now, I'm going to go on to the next point in a minute, but I wrote something down here. I'm going to read it. And I want you to catch hold of this. This is something that, you know, we really found out. God does not bleed his people dry to finance his projects. That's not God. What he does is he blesses them so much so that they can be a part of his projects through tithes and offerings. It comes out of blessing. But he never bleeds his people dry. And the reason I say that is I've seen it happen. At least up where we've come from, I've seen it happen. I've had people tell me about being bled dry, and I said to God, if that's how it works, I don't want anything to do with it. And I can honestly say, in the 16 years we've had a church, all we've only ever had two special offerings. And that one was when we were teaching people how to sow, and we raised an offering. We sent the lot to David Hathaway for a ministry to Russia. The second one was when we had our Liverpool building. We got a big piece of land. We had a 15-year lease on the land. We had to build all of the inside and modernize the inside ourselves. And we paid cash. It was $250,000 and we just paid cash. And God blessed us. It was amazing. Okay, and that's the only time we've ever taken a special offering. Okay, all the rest of the finances in the church have come through consistent tithes and offerings. God blessing people being obedient and blessing the church, God blessing them again, and it just becomes a supernatural flow. Now, we're not from a big church. The church in Wales is 80 to 90 people, including kids. We need a building. The church in Liverpool's, now we've had the building, it started. Once you get a building, it can increase. You know, you're going to increase here. In Wales, we're in a hall and it's full. We can't get anybody else in. We're desperate for a building. 80 to 90 people. But from those 80 to 90 people, Hazel is paid full time because we don't believe in buy one, get one free with pastors, you know. Pastor gets paid and his wife does all the cleaning. No. We're pastors together and we're both paid a full-time wage. My daughter is paid half from Liverpool and Wales. She gets full-time wage. Okay, we pay our rent. We pay our expenses, and we've also got £500,000 in the bank ready towards the building. All from 80 to 90 people, including kids. No millionaires. 80% of the people were out of work when we started. It completely shocked me rigid. Said, Lord, what do we do? I'm never going to get anywhere. Okay? And yet, we just kept preaching it. We kept going for it. We kept standing with people. And before I look back over a few years, and suddenly the money's in the bank and I haven't got a clue how we got it. It's just there. And it's just God. Jesus is amazing. But expectancy is what you need. God never bleeds his people dry. He blesses them. Absolutely amazing. And then out of that blessing, they bless the church and he blesses them again. And if you want a scripture to back it up, look at Abraham. Blessed to be a blessing. I teach our people the fullness is for you. The overflowing's to share and be generous with everybody else. And we go for that. You've got to go for the overflowing. It's part of what God wants. Okay? Now, another thing that the Lord taught us. Are you okay with expectancy? Are you more expectant? Okay. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. You know it really well, so I'm not going to read it to you. I'll just tell you. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your path straight. And one of the keys that the Lord gave us was that line where it says, lean not on your own understanding. We often preach, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We often preach, I've forgotten the rest of it now, but never mind. But the phrase God gave us, don't lean on your own understanding. And if you're going to live in the supernatural, you can't lean on your own understanding because you can't get your head around God. And some of the things God does, I've thought have been absolutely crazy. You know, I just can't get my head around some of the things that he does, but he does it. And the Lord taught us a long time ago, said, if you're going to live in this and flow in this, you see, we don't just want to touch it for a moment. That's not God. He wants us to break into things and then flow in them. And actually go for a bigger flow. It's all Jesus. But one of the things we learned is that if you start to lean, and lean means put weight on and rely on your own thinking. And if there's one thing that I've discovered over the years of doing the church and helping people and working with people and seeing miracles with people's finances, because we've had major miracles with people's finances, we've seen negative equity cancelled. We've seen massive debts disappear. We've seen banks be generous. How miraculous is that? It's amazing, isn't it? Okay. And you can't get your head around it, okay? And if there's something that can cause people to miss it, it's this particular thing, trying to work it all out. You just can't do it, okay? God is supernatural. And he loves to do supernatural things, but it doesn't always make sense to the natural mind. Are you with me? It doesn't always make sense. And I'll just share a few things. A few years ago, the Lord told us to move house, and I didn't want to move house. I just had quite a big health battle. I couldn't even carry a box. And at the worst time I could ever think of, God said move house. We've been in the house, we were in 19 and a half years we've been in the house. Kids have grown up there. And God says, it's time to move. After 19 and a half years, when I was the sickest I've been ever, I said, I don't want to move, I'm too sick. He says, that's not the issue, I want you to move. So we've learned to obey the Lord as soon as he speaks. It's a bit like Abraham when he got told, he said he went straight down the next day and saddled his donkey. Do you know that bit part? As soon as God speaks, you do it. And we've learned that. You've got to do what God says when he tells you to do it. It's a key. But I didn't want to move house. But we put the house on the market, and in a couple of months, it was gone. It happened so fast. When we catch God's moment, and it happens fast. And we didn't have anywhere to go. We thought we'd found a house. And the person that had this house, he was sick. I don't know who he was, but he was going to go to a hot climate, which made his whatever was wrong with him better. And we were only 2 months selling our house, but he decided he couldn't wait for us. He told us he wanted to, but he decided he couldn't wait for us. So he sold it without telling us or the estate agent. We sold our house, rang up the estate agent to say that our house has gone. He rang this bloke up. Then they rang us back and said, oh, I'm sorry, they've sold it. They've moved. You've got nowhere to go. So I said, well, Lord, what do we do now? And so God led us to another estate agent to look for and it was outside of the area we'd even considered. And it was two price ranges up from the one we were leaving, which was completely way out of our price range. We're not like millionaires, we're just ordinary people. And obviously we'd moved on a little bit in the church, but we just didn't have that kind of money. But God said, when we went there, God says, this is where I want you to be. And quite an expensive house. They already dropped it, $55,000, I think it was, wasn't it? Anyway. And when I walked in, Hazel, she says, this place excites me, I feel right here. So we went outside and we stood near the hedge. And we prayed, says, Lord, what do you want us to do? And we felt the Lord says, make an offer and knock another £30,000 off. So we went back in and we says, yes, we'll have it, but this is what we're offering. And then the Lord gave me a strategy, says, tell them it's the one-off offer. If they don't want it, fine, I'll walk away. If anybody else looks at the house and they decide they want to sort of start throwing us in a competition, I'll walk away. I says, but we won't mess you about. We'll stick to our offer if that's what you want. And somebody came a few weeks after who had messed them about, or about 3 months earlier, to give them a silly offer, trying to get a real bargain. And then he came and found out we were buying it, and he offered them £10,000 more than we'd offered. But they turned him down, because they didn't want to be messed about again, and God gave us a house. But we moved in, and we moved in with £2,000 to spare. But it was a house that needed lots and lots of money spending on it, and we thought, how are we going to do this? I mean, the curtains in two of the bedrooms were going to cost £2,000. We needed a new kitchen, needed everything. Got an outdoor heater swimming pool, which we'd never had before. We didn't even notice it, actually, when we were going to buy it. we didn't, did we? We ended up with, well, we never had one. We'd been in a three-bedroom semi for 19 and a half years. And it got an outdoor heater swimming pool with an American boiler on it. And I thought, and that needed £3,000 or £4,000 worth of work on it to do it. I said, Lord, how am I going to do it? We bought this house. It got a swimming pool. What are we going to do? Anyway, I'll share the testimony of this later, but a friend of ours years ago, and I'll link these two together. When we were starting, we had nothing. This friend of ours had a little business, and she ran it from her kitchen table. And it was just a recruitment agency. And she ran it from her kitchen table. She didn't want it to go very big. She had no intention of it going very big. She just did not want too much work, just enough to tick her over. And her children had been in school and they'd grown up now. And she just ticked over. And she came to us one day, completely out of the blue, and when we were first starting. And we had no money and God started to do miracles. She came one day and she says, the Lord's been speaking to me. And he's told me to give you a percentage of the profits of my business. I said, oh, thank you very much. And then she said a comment. She says, the more I earn, the more you will. And God heard that. Because within 12 months, it doubled to £200,000. And she actually set me up my own charity number. I got tax back on everything she gave me. I didn't do anything. Okay? And anyway, the next year, it doubled again. She never advertised. She never did anything. God just kind of took over. But the short part of the long, you know, to cut this whole story short is my daughter went to work there for a season that opened up. It went within a few years from £100,000 turnover to £1.2 million. And halfway through that, they decided to make us directors in the company. And I was pastoring. I never worked there, never went there. We had two board meetings a year, I think, didn't we? And we got a third of the profits of a £1.2 million business coming in. And I said, and she said, I don't know what's happened. It took off. And I said, praise God. Anyway, this was before we got the house and everything. I've got all this. We've ended up with £2,000 left in it anyway. Got into the house. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? How am I going to get money to do this place up? You put us here. I know we're in the right place. What do we do? A couple of weeks later, we had a phone call from the company to say, oh, we've been looking at the company records and we've got a lot of money in the bank. I said, oh, I didn't know that. She said, yeah, and we decided we were going to buy another office, but we're not going to. We're going to share it out as dividends. She says, you've got some money going in the bank next week. I said, oh, that sounds nice. She said, well, it's going to be really nice. There's £60,000 going in. And within 2 weeks, I'm thinking, wow, I could have leaned to my own understanding and said, oh, I can't afford this, Lord. It's massive. We can't do this, Lord. But you know, when God wants you somewhere, he pays for it. And that's here. Okay? And Judy's getting excited. And I'm telling you, I'm declaring it. When God's put you here, and he's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it. If he did it for me with a house, he's certainly going to do it for his church. Okay? Okay. But you can't lean on your own understanding. So that's moving house and the company testimony, okay? And what happened then was the company, our friend decided to retire. Other people were taking over the company who weren't Christians. God said, don't be unequally yoked. So we'd had all of our season there. The season came to a close. And you just move on again. As soon as the season comes to a close, you move on. Okay? You move on. But it's not just big things like that. A little while ago, I wanted a jet wash. You know what a jet wash? We filled the swimming pool in. I used it for 2-3 years. It cost me a fortune. And then I felt the Lord says one day, fill it in now, because I was the only one using it. And I had to go every morning for a swim with this outdoor heater swimming pool. We kept it at 82 degrees. I thought, I'm going to look after myself here. It was really good. The gas bill went whoosh through the roof. But it was really good. But I thought, in the end, I thought, I'll just fill it in. And God sent us the money to fill it in. God sent us the money to fill it in. And we filled it in. And we wound up with a patio with 280 slabs on it. So I thought, well, I'm not scrubbing them with a brush. I'm going to get a jet wash. So I says, Lord, I need a jet wash. So I went to B&Q. You know, you've got B&Q down here? Okay. Well, my father-in-law calls it heaven. Okay. He's a retired builder. And he loves the power tools. So when he used to go shopping, my mother-in-law used to say, oh, Pat, he says, oh, Pat's gone to heaven this morning. And what it meant was, you ain't gone to glory, you've gone to B&Q. So I went to heaven this morning to buy a jet wash. And when I went in, there was a jet wash there, £110 it was. And I thought, that's not bad. And I got no witness. I felt the Holy Spirit says, no. There was a real no witness. I said, it's only £110, Lord. No. So I thought, oh. So you learn to listen. This is another thing later on. You learn to listen to the witness, okay? Even with a jet wash. And so I went home. A couple of weeks later, I decided to go again. I needed some grow bags for my tomato plants. So I thought, I'll go and look at my jet wash. So I went to the jet wash. And again, no. And then one day I was outside in the garden. And suddenly, I wasn't even thinking about jet washers then. That's typically God. When you're not thinking about it, he tells you and he says, go and get your jet wash this morning. I thought, wow, it just came just like that. Get your jet wash this morning. So I did. I jumped in the car, went to B&Q. And the outside said, sale. I thought, yes. So I went in, the jet wash, 10% off, reduced to £90. I says, Lord, that's not much. I waited 3 weeks for 10%. I did. So that's not much. 10%, that's not worth. Well, I waited 3 weeks, I could have done my slabs. Anyway. Don't start me laughing. Anyway. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, yeah. I felt the Lord said, buy it today. So I thought, oh, well, £90, not bad. Put it in the trolley. I thought, I'll go and get me grow bags. And a few other bits and pieces and some pots and some compost and things like that. You see, I got some more grow. And it put a few more pounds on the bill. I went to the till, and the lady said to me, oh, that's, what was it, something like £52 for everything. I said, for everything? So the jet washer's 90. And she says, no. It's down here at £48. I says, no. I said, check again, because I don't want to be dishonest. And she says, I'm telling you, it's been... We're not used to you being honest. And she said, I'm telling you, it's been reduced. She says, and actually, she says, she was quite surety with me then. She says, because you bought these other things, it's gone over £50. We've done a special offer today. It's 25% off for everybody that spends over £50. And what I learned there was, the Holy Spirit loves a deal. And there was no signs, there was no posters, but God knew what was in the computer. It had gone in the computers. It hadn't even gone onto the shop floor. He loves a deal. But you've got to go with him. But it's not just jet wash. He does it with pairs of trousers. Okay. A couple of weeks ago, and this is where you can't lean on your own understanding. A couple of weeks ago, I needed some walking trousers. I've lost some weight, although I think I might put it on again this week, going with Judith and Andrea and everybody for a meal. But I wanted some walking trousers, so I go to Cotswolds, and I've got an account there as well. I've got a contract account that the colleges have. And I've had it for 20 years. I get 15% off everything at Cotswolds Outdoor Pursuits. And I'm giving Judith the number. You can all go there as well now. It's for anybody in the church. And I went down to Cotswolds, and there was these walking trousers, and they were £60 a pair. I thought, wow, that's a lot of money for a pair of walking trousers. And I felt just a nudge, buy two. I thought, I don't want two, not for £60 a pair. And I felt again, buy two. Anyway, this time my head got in the way. I thought, no, I can't buy two. So I went to the till, and I says, can I have these, please? And it's 15% off. Here's my number. So 15% is quite good. And she looked at me. She says, is there a sign on the rail? I says, no. She says, well, they're down here at £27.50. They've just gone on as a sale. I said, hold on. I'm going to go and get the other pair. And I went and got two. The Lord knew again. And it's like the Holy Spirit keeps reaffirming. He says, I know what's in the computer. And when I send you, just do it. Don't try and work it all out. Don't lean on your own understanding. Can you catch what I'm trying to say? Just catch the spirit of it. It's not just for big things. It's for every little thing in life. The Holy Spirit is interested, okay? There's three keys we learn in all this. You've got to lean on God's word. You've got to put weight for your life on God's word, okay? Because I don't know whether you have the same issue. Sometimes your head can get in the way. You can try and work it all out. And God doesn't always want you to work it all out. He just wants you to trust him. Okay? You have to lean and put weight on God's word. You've got to know it. You've got to, if you like, you've got to be one with it. So that the first thing that comes out of your mouth is the word. Okay? It's so that you're absolutely at one with the word of God. But it's amazing. It keeps you ready. And it keeps you sharp, actually. Another thing you have to learn is to lean on the witness of the Holy Spirit. Put weight on that, not on your own understanding. Because so often you can miss it by trying to work it out. Okay? I mean, you've got to be wise. But when the Holy Spirit directs you, go with him. Go with him. He knows what's taking place. Okay? But you have to learn that witness. Another thing that the Lord taught you, he gave us a phrase. He says, learn to catch the moment. I don't know whether you've thought of that, but sometimes you've just got to catch the moment. Because the moments don't always last. You've got to catch the moment. When God tells you to do something, you catch that moment. Because that's the best time to do something, when God tells you. Okay, catch the moment. And with that, don't procrastinate. You know, somebody said, didn't they, procrastination is the thief of time. And sometimes a spirit of procrastination can try and stop you. Have you experienced it? Shall I, shan't I? Is it, isn't it? Okay, the spirit of procrastination will try and stop you. Don't let it. When you know that God said something, go for it. If you're not sure, come to a pastor. Come to one of the leaders, say, do you witness with this? One of the things that we do, we work with Pastor Derek Coy in Wales, and Hazel, myself, and Sarah, and we're all in the same team together. And we never make a major decision without all of us having the witness together. You know, there's wisdom with many counsellors. It's important to do it God's way, okay? But once you know it's God, catch the moment. And then God sorts the rest out once you've caught the moment. But don't procrastinate. But, you know, I keep emphasizing, it's a lifestyle, this is. It's a flow. It's a supernatural flow. But it's quite exciting, okay? Another thing that the Lord taught us was don't settle for just enough. Sometimes we can settle without even realizing we've done it with just enough. Okay? And one of the things the Lord said to me years and years, I mean, I had loads of fantastic advice from some fantastic people. Lord, if you're going to be a pastor, you're going to have to settle to be poor. Okay? Another person said to me, well, if you're going to be a pastor, you can't use your children in the church because everybody else will get jealous and they think you're showing favoritism. And I says, no chance my children are coming with me. Are you with me? And I'm not going to pour. I'm going to lead the church into prosperity because I don't believe that's what God's saying. And all through the years when it was difficult, God kept saying to me, don't accept poverty. Don't accept poverty. All the time, okay? But you never settle for just enough because that's wilderness living. If you look at the Israelites in the Old Testament, they were God's assembly in the wilderness. Doesn't it say that in the New Testament? They were God, so they're like it's God's church in the wilderness. And we can learn from what happened with them and what God taught them, okay? Now, when they were going through the wilderness, God supernaturally, and it's a blessing to have just enough, God still provides. I think the minimum for the Christian at any time should be just enough. Because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack. So that means we shouldn't go lower than just enough, okay? Right, so in the wilderness, when they were going through that time, they were only allowed to gather just enough, weren't they? So it was just enough every day. But God was leading them through that time to the place of more than enough. And all the time, he didn't want them to settle. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And that's where we got there from. God said, he showed us through the scriptures, he says, never settle for just enough. It can seem like, oh, this is just how it's got to be. This is my lot in life. You know, and so we've had lots of people in our church over up there. And a lot of them say, oh, my mum's always been poor, my dad's always been poor, they've never had a car, we've never owned our own house. And I say to them, I says, well, if that's what you want to accept, that's your choice. I says, but that's not what's in my Bible. It doesn't matter what's been in your past. When you get saved, God wants you to take you into what we call promised land living, if you like. It's where God wants to take you. But you've got to make a decision, no matter where I'm at, no matter how impossible it seems, I am not going to settle for just enough. Not because I'm greedy, not because I'm demanding, but simply because my Father says so. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It isn't a bad attitude. It's letting God be God and taking God at his word. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. Don't settle for just enough. More than enough is abundance. Yeah. Okay? Overflowing. These are God's kind of words. I like God's language. He uses words like overflowing, abundance, and all that kind of stuff. Measures pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He uses all that kind of talk. And I can honestly say it's not just money. It's for every area of life. But he likes to do it. He likes to see his people prosper. It's his heart. He's a father, okay? You can't settle for just enough. You know, I think somebody once said the Israelites, they were going to a promised land. But for us today, it's a land of promises. And the good news is they're all yes. We forget sometimes, you know, they're all yes. All yes. And if you think how many promises there are, that's a lot of yeses. Isn't it true? They are all yes. But we can't, it's not automatic. We have to say the amen to it. It shall be so. I'm going for this. You see what I mean? When God starts to show you a promise, you start to say, yes, I'm saying amen to that, Lord. And I'm going to go for it. Are you with me? Because they are yes. One of the things we taught our church is that you can't live in like passive faith, which isn't really faith. It's got to be active faith. And it's always active. No matter what, it's active faith. And it works. This is our testament. It works. We didn't set out to try and learn this. We were surviving and overcoming and having to put food on the table. And God has shown us as we went along. And before we knew where we were, God had shown us quite a lot of things. And suddenly a flow started to open up. But it started to open up in the church. And the church started to prosper. Am I okay for time? Okay? So it's active faith. And you always stay in that place of active faith. I teach our church in Wales, I say, comfort's your enemy. Because boy, don't we like our comfort sometimes. And we can want to, I just want to settle back. You can't afford to settle back. You've just got to keep going. Okay, because God's on the move. And you've just got to keep going. Okay, never settle for just enough. Another thing that the Lord taught us was from 1 Timothy 6 verse 12, where it says, fight the good fight of faith. You've got to have the mentality that no matter what battle comes along, it's the good fight of faith. And God actually gives you the outcome, really, in that scripture, because the good fight's the one you win. If you think about it, otherwise it'd be a bad fight. Well, it would, wouldn't it? I mean, I like simple. I don't like complicated. I like simple. Okay, so the good fight of faith's the one you win. Other than that, I can't find a scripture that says fight the bad fight of faith. It just says fight the good fight of faith. And it's only a good fight if you're going to win. Does that make sense? So the good fight of faith is the one you win. Now, the enemy, he'll oppose you. You probably experienced some of that, okay? He'll oppose you. He'll try to rob you. He'll try to stop you. He will try to lie to you. He will try to condemn you. He will try to accuse you. He'll try to bring up your past. Have you experienced that? Yeah. Try to bring up your past. Okay, God says, forget those things which are behind. That means don't bring them to remembrance. To remember something is to call it to mind. God says, don't do that. It's finished. The past is finished. No matter what it is, no matter what it's done, it's under the blood of Jesus. Don't do it. But the devil tries to bring it up, you just say, no way, I'm not going there again. Are you with me? One of the things we've had we noticed a lot at one time in the church, it's not there now, a lot of people were struggling, it's like that one particular sin that I can't quite believe I'm forgiven for. Everything else I'm fine, but that one thing, it just keeps coming back and coming back. And we keep giving him the scripture, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God's taken the sin from you. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because if you start at the north, at some point in time you're going to hit the south. Aren't you? But if you go in east to west, you can start east and keep heading west and you'll just go around forever. You're always... Think about it. God knew the world was round before anybody else did. Well, he did. And as far as the east is from the west, you can go looking all you like. You're not going to run into it again. That's how far God's taken it away. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The devil, so you just say, no, as far as the east is from the west, that's gone. I'm not going to run into that again. Jesus has taken it away, and I'm not even going to go looking. Okay? Well, you think, what's all this got to do with money? But you've got to fight. And you've got to fight the lies of the enemy. See, Satan can't create. God can create anything. Satan can't create. So he can't create any new ways of having a go at you. Well, can he? I mean, do you think of all the battles? You must fight battles in your mind, do you, don't you? You must do. Isn't it always the same old stuff? And then it gets boring. Well, it does, doesn't it? It gets boring. It's the same old stuff. And you think, there's nothing new. And what makes me mad, I kick myself, I said, I fall for it again. Well, you do, don't you? You think, and you start to think, pull yourself together, Terry. You can't keep falling for the same old thing all the time. And you suddenly click, hang on a minute, this is God showing me. He can't create anything new. He can only rehash the old stuff and try and make it feel bad with the old stuff. Only God can create. And when we got saved, he made us new creations. And the old got passed away. Everything became new. He's a liar. Don't listen to it. He'll do anything to try and rob you in every way, and he'll try to lie to you. He'll try to condemn you. Anybody ever felt condemned? Do you know what it means to be condemned? It means to be made unfit for use. If you condemn a building because it's no good, what is it saying about the building? It's not fit for use. And Satan comes, he tries to make Christians feel unfit for use. So their expectancy is low. They don't really think God's going to do anything great. They don't expect anything supernatural. They don't expect God's going to do anything good for them because they feel condemned, unfit for use. There's no unfit for use people in the kingdom of God. Only new creations. Are you catching it? You have to live in the whole flow of it because God wants to bless, okay, in every single way. He tries to get you to take offense. Now, nobody does that, do they? We have a saying in Wales, some of our people, they don't just take a fence, they take the gate, they take a post, they take everything else with them as well. But he tries to get you to take offence. The Lord gives me loads of opportunities to receive his grace not to take offence, and the devil gives me loads of opportunities to try and take offence. But it's a choice not to do it. As soon as you make the choice, I'm not taking offence, that lie, that tactic of the enemy is gone. Okay? Oh, this is a good one. He'll try to steal your attitude. Now, I'm sure nobody has a bad attitude. Nobody suffers with a bad attitude. We're all full of grace and love everyone another to bits. But you know, I get loads of opportunities to lose my attitude. You know what the Lord taught me? He says, don't ever lose your attitude. The minute you lose your attitude, you lose the anointing. And that's precious. Okay, but the devil tries to get you to lose your attitude. And all I've got to say there is, just resist him. Don't let him. We go round and round in circles and make it long-winded. Try, just say no. No, no. In the name of Jesus, no. It's a good fight of faith. And I'm going to win. You have to have that mentality. It's a good fight of faith, and I'm going to win. Not because of who I am, but because of who my Father is. Are you with me? You're going to win. It's a good fight of faith. Now then, as we were going on in this and learning that there's a good fight of faith, we discovered that there are three particular, I've put them down here, giants, if you like, because I was looking at the promised land and it just seemed to fit with the way I was putting the word together because the giants were in the land. There were three particular things I discovered over the years, both personally and standing with a lot of people, that come against Christians, okay? The first one is the spirit of fear. It's the spirit of fear. Now, there's a promise that God gave Abraham, which is our inheritance. God promised Abraham that he would be free to serve him all the days of life without fear. So that's our promise, okay? But the spirit of fear comes and he attacks. And it comes in particular ways. The spirit of fear comes behind the problem. Let me explain. Anybody experience like health battles? Get symptoms? All the symptoms start behind the symptoms. Comes the spirit of fear. Okay? It can be money battles. Okay? We've had some huge money battles. Okay? Oh, in the past, standing firm and praying, I discovered one day that, very early on, that God doesn't seem to want to do things early. He likes to do it last minute. He works at the 11th hour. I prayed some stupid prayers. I says, Lord, you've done it at the 11th hour many times now. I invite you to do it early to take the pressure off. I mean, looking back now, I think, how stupid was that? But I was desperate at that time. But all the time the spirit of fear comes while you're standing in faith. Are you with me? Comes behind the problem. Okay? And it comes and attacks your mind. Okay? And it comes with words in your head. Comes with words to undermine your faith, you see. And it uses phrases like, what if? What if? Anybody had the what ifs? You get the what ifs. It uses phrases like, maybe. Well, maybe, or maybe I haven't heard God properly, or maybe this uses words like maybe. Are you with me? Well, what if this need isn't met now and we go into debt? Or what if, you know, it uses all that kind of phrases, okay? And what it's doing all the time, it's trying to sow doubt, okay? And doubting faith sinks. We have to live in undoubting faith. Do you see where I'm coming from? But God, you have to, again, you come back to God's perspective. Okay? And God uses phrases like, I will. Yeah. No doubt with that, is there? I will means I will. Yeah. Okay? He uses phrases like, I am willing. Yeah. Leper comes to Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. I am willing. That I am willing goes right through the ages. It's still the same today. Okay? I am willing. I'll heal. I'm willing to heal you. I'm willing to bless you. I'm willing to provide for you. I'm willing to be your father. Just keep trusting me. God doesn't use phrases like, what if? He doesn't use phrases like, maybe. I can't find it, you know. Can you? God uses phrases like, you can. You can do all things through Christ. I teach all of our young people, you can pass all your exams. You can all pass your exams. Why? Because Jesus says so. You can do all things through Christ. All things means you can pass your exams. So we teach our youth, sometimes a lot of pressure comes on young people with exam times, doesn't it? And I don't see why Christians should live under pressure. Why should we live under pressure? We're living above and beyond the ordinary. The ordinary is out there under pressure. We're living a way, 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 no pressure. So God says you can. Spirit of fear says what if? Maybe. God says you can. You can. You can. Are you with me? You've got to catch the spirit of it, see? So it's like, you know, I can think of a couple of people in our church who, their family history was no prosperity. Debt, 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 debt. Well, and this, a young man came to me and says, I just feel like rubbish. Okay? No value. So I started to stand with him. And all sorts of problems been in the past. But I kept saying to him, you're a new creation in Christ. You do not have to live under the curses of the past. You can live in the blessings of now. And it took a while. And we taught him consistency with tithes and offerings and the power of it, which I'm going to do tomorrow. He got his life in order. He got his money in order. We taught him structure, which I'll share in a minute. Taught him how to structure. And it took a little while. And he had a few hiccups. He made a few mistakes. But just said, keep going. You've got to keep saying to people, keep going. Because there's no condemnation. God just says, keep going. You know, even where there's loads of mistakes, grace just increases. So we get over the mistakes. You just keep going. Because God's good. And it blessed me. Last year, he got his first new car. It was the first new car in the whole of his family. And God, he did it. And he saw it work. Okay, and it wasn't me. I just kept saying, this is the word. This is the word. We don't let go. We just keep preaching the word. You just keep believing. And he suddenly broke through. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. That is, you know, it's really good. God uses good phrases. The devil uses doubting phrases. But once you recognize it, you can think, hang on a minute. God doesn't say what if. God doesn't say maybe. Does he? God says you can. I will. I'm willing. Okay? It's who God is. It's our God. He's great. Now the thing is, once you recognize how the spirit of fear works, you can overcome it. You have to recognize, you know, we use a phrase in Wales, you have to recognize your enemy. We don't focus on the enemy. We focus on Jesus, but you've got to recognize the enemy. I mean, if I write a few notes, I put the devil. I always put him with a little D. Yeah. My computer hates it because it wants to put a capital, and I put a little D. Do you do the same thing? I always put a little D. God with a capital G, devil with a little D. And I don't think the devil likes reading my notes. But, you know, you've got to teach. Devil's got a little D. You've got to recognize your enemy, but God's got a capital G, okay? It's who he is. But once you recognize fear, you can deal with it, and faith can start to flow. And you keep the doubts off. You know, because the doubts will try and make you sink. They tried it with me, and I tell you, it's not little stuff sometimes. It can be quite big, can't it, sometimes? It tries to make you sink. Another two things that come with that are discouragement and negativity. And if you look at the Israelites on the edge of the promised land, weren't they hit with fear? Weren't they hit with discouragement? And boy, were they hit with negativity. Okay, and it cost them. Right on the edge of the blessing that God had promised. He said, I'm going to give you this land. He wasn't bothered about the giants. He'd already got them sorted out. As far as he was concerned, it was a done thing. Okay? And that's what we have to understand. As far as everything God's got for our lives is concerned, it's a done thing. Okay? But on the edge, right on the edge, fear came in, discouragement came in, and negativity. Weren't the 10 negative spies? Okay? The negativity tries to get you to speak it. Okay, you have to be very, very careful what you speak when you're breaking through. I took a leaf out of Kenneth Copeland's book. I laughed one day because I felt just how he was saying. And what he was going through a health battle. And the pain was getting really bad. And he was standing on the word and believing God. And he says, Gloria, if I start speaking negative, gag me with a scarf. And I thought, I just know just how you feel. And I needed to read it that day. And I had to keep zipping the lip because sometimes the pressure wants you to speak negative. And as soon as you speak the negatives out, you have to deal with those negative words because they carry life or death, our words, don't they? Okay, and the spirit of discouragement comes, try to make you to just think totally, I don't know if you experienced it, but it's quite a strong thing. But when you recognize the fear, and when you recognize the discouragement, and when you recognize the spirit of negativity, and then you turn it around with the word, you think, hang on a minute, I'm on the edge. I'm breaking through. I'm going. It's only trying to stop me. And they had to choose not to go in. Don't forget, the giants didn't stop them going in. They chose not to go in. Have you got it? Because you've got to live in the reality of it. They had to choose. And when you see the enemy's attacks for what they are, you think, hang on a minute, I'm on the edge. That's just confirmed. I'm right where I need to be. I'm going through. And the enemy hates it. because he's lost, okay? And what we do is I start praising God. I say, praise you, Lord, I praise you. We're right on the edge. I give you all the praise. We're breaking through, and I'm going into a new level of abundance. This discouragement and fear, they're all lies. It's not truth. And praise brings the victory, okay? Always brings the victory. Now, am I all right for time still? Okay. On this journey of the supernatural, if you like, you learn a few other things as well. And you need to learn them, and they don't come they didn't come to me automatically anyway. One of the things God taught us is you've got to learn to be generous. Because the generous soul will be made rich. And to my mind, if someone is being made rich, or if someone's going to make me rich, that means I haven't got to try to do it. I haven't got to strive to do it. I can just get on with living because somebody else is making me rich. And I thought, hey, that's cool. And it's actually God who's going to do it. But he does it to those who are truly generous. And generosity has to be learnt. And God teaches you to be generous. And it can be a learning curve, if you like. And what happened with me was, we'd gone through a long season of just enough. We were just starting to break through. And we couldn't afford a newspaper for a couple of years when we first started. When we started our church, we started off on £20 a week each wages. We had to pay the mortgage, keep the cars on the road, keep the children in school, everything on £40 a week. The tithe was £4. £4 doesn't sound much, but after 40 quid, it was a lot of money. And we don't know how we did it. I still don't know, but God did it. Are you with me? And we went through all that season while we were pioneering the church on £20 a week each. That was it. That was our gross income. And there came a time where it started to break through, and I got I can never forget this, £70. I had £70 left over for the first time in nearly 3 years, and I'd got plans for this £70. I was going to go fishing. We were going to go out for a meal. I got plans. And the Lord says, I want you to give it away. I says, no. Not really. And it was so clear. And then he told me who he wanted to give. That was even worse. He says, I want you to give it to that person. I says, they don't even deserve it, Lord. And I told him, I said, they don't deserve it. They're not even living righteous. They're not even going to stay in the church. He says, I want you to give it to them. I says, but there's lots more people in the church who are really need it, and I want to give it to him. And it was £70, first time in 3 years, and God says, I want you to sow it. I want you to be generous to that person. To my mind, he didn't deserve it because he caused a lot of trouble. But you know what God said to me later? He said, I wanted to give him an opportunity. I wanted to show him love. Even if he never came to, I wanted to show him love. And he wanted my £70 to do it. But and I gave it. I did it. And praise God, I gave it. And Hazel, fair play Hazel, she just says, you need to do it. She's very straight down the line. Tells me, puts me right sometimes. And tells me you need to do it. And I gave it away. But you know, from that moment, something moved again. From that moment. But I didn't want to do it. I had to learn to be generous where God was telling me to be generous. Not where I necessarily wanted to be generous. Are you with me? And it moved on. Again, from being, but it said the generous soul is made rich. It's a dynamic. Yes. If you think about it, it's a powerful dynamic, because when God comes into the situation, he does it supernaturally. He just does it. You know, I've shared some of the testimonies. There's all sorts of testimonies. And I think the other week, beginning of this year, the Lord said, I want you to change your car. And I said, but it's only 2 years old. So it's time to change your car. So I said, okay. So we went looking, and I said, the Holy Spirit loves it. He found me a great deal. Got a good price, I changed my car. And then the Lord says, I want you to sell the other car. We have two cars, one each, because if I go fishing, which isn't as often as it used to be, but I like to go, Hazel likes a car, in case anybody needs anything. And God says, I want you to sell that car. And I gave him a release to sell the car. I said, well, we need two. He says, sell the car. So anyway, I picked up my new car, and said, okay, Lord, we'll sell the other car and go and have one. I could do with one for fishing. I went to church on the Sunday, and some person said to me, says, have you got your new car? I says, yeah. Oh, I says, why, what's the matter? I says, I was going to give you one. I says, you what? I says, I want to give you one. I says, give me a car. He says, yeah, I've got a RAV. I said, I thought you might be able to use it for fishing. I says, thank you very much. And then he says, oh, it's a 2 litre petrol, a bit expensive, but I've had it converted to gas. It's only 79p a litre. Will that do you? And I was given a RAV. And I said, and it made me realise again, and the flow's increasing. I mean, it wasn't like this in the early days. I couldn't afford a newspaper, but I like being here. And it's good. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is really good. And suddenly I'm sitting outside in the RAV, and I'm thinking, I've got a RAV. How did I get a RAV? And I was sitting there. It runs on gas, 79p a litre. And I don't even pay for the insurance. Somebody else pays that as well. I said, I'll do that for you for a year. Don't worry about it. And I'm thinking, this is just amazing, Lord. I was just praising God. This is just amazing. Is this really real? You know, from going from a place where I said to the Lord, do I live in a third world country, Lord? That's why I asked him once. I said, I'm so poor. Do I live in a third world country? I said, is this still the UK? And now you come a few, and you're in a RAV that's been given to you, and we've got a new car as well. I'm thinking, it doesn't make sense. You can't lean on your own understanding. You've got to go with the flow. And it's for everybody. Okay? It's just for everybody. Another thing the Lord taught us was to build discipline and structure into your life, not just your finances. Because you've got to have structure. Are you with me? And one of the things the Lord gave was I was looking in Deuteronomy 28 where it says he blesses the basket and the store, or the basket and the kneading bowl. Do you know that? And I says, well, Lord, I says, you're going to bless it, but I don't know what a basket and a store is. I said, I haven't got one of those. And what the Lord dropped in my mind, he says, yeah, but you've got a current account and a savings account, haven't you? I says, well, I have. And the basket was for everyday use. And the store was when the basket was empty, you'd go to the store. That's what it is. Like if you had apples, it's just an example, in the store. You had what you need for everyday use in the basket. And when the basket was empty, you went to the store and got a few more apples. And I thought, current account and saving account. And God says, yeah, and I want to bless them both. I said, that sounds really good. So I started to do seminars in the church to help people structure their finances and to develop a savings mentality. And I was amazed how very few people have any savings and don't think to save. And what the Lord told me to say to people was, get your current account in order and structured, get a savings account or an ISA, and even if you've only got £5 a month at the end, people say, oh, it's only a fiver, I'll spend it, or 20 quid, oh, I'll buy Chinese. What the Lord says, instead of doing that, resist that, start saving. And suddenly God started blessing the basket and the store. And people, we taught sowing and reaping. I haven't got enough time to do all that. And what people do now is, when they're saving up money to sow, they save it in an ISA. And they get money, instead of just giving a fiver, they save up money so and sow big chunks, but they get interest as well. So you've got to have a basket and a store to do it. But once you've got it structured, God starts to bless it. I mean, you have to build discipline in and a few other things. But once you've got it structured and you start to have that mind change, because you've got to be renewed sometimes in your mind, God starts to bless the basket in the store, or the current account and the savings account, which again is rather good. And on top of that, again, you learn to sow. Okay, one of the keys is sowing. It's a spiritual and a natural law. Another thing you learn to structure, and we learnt very much so, is that you have to build quality time in with Jesus, especially in the Word and especially in worship. Okay, you need quality time with Jesus. And sometimes things come to try and steal that quality time. But quality time with Jesus, especially in worship, it keeps you sensitive. You have to stay sensitive. Because that sensitivity helps you catch the witness of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You have to learn how to catch the witness of the Holy Spirit. My last scripture for tonight is Matthew 6:33. They're all well-known scriptures. Nothing sort of obscure, anything like that. Matthew 6:33, you all know it. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And what's the promise? All things. Don't you think that's prosperity? All things are added unto you. Now, I like it simple. So I said, Lord, how do you explain seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness in a simple way? And first of all, seeking first his righteousness is basically God's right way of living in every area of your life. Okay, and that scripture, if you think about it, it shows the Christian how to prioritize their lifestyle. Are you with me? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness is God's priority for the Christian life. Okay, and it comes with a promise, all things are added. Okay, so righteousness is God's way of living. Okay, that's that part. Then I said, well, how do you explain seeking first your kingdom and keep it simple? And one day I was reading somebody gave me a book, and it was a diary, a testimony, a diary of George Muller, you know, the man with the orphanages? And he had a little article in it about a revelation God gave him about seeking first the kingdom. Because it's a massive subject, isn't it, the kingdom? And he said that what the Lord showed him was that a simple way of looking at seeking first his kingdom is to seek after the internal and the external prosperity of the church. Think about it. The internal prosperity of the church, okay, making it a priority in the Christian life, remember, is the support of the church. It's supporting the meetings, supporting the special things that the Holy Spirit tells the leaders to do. It's giving that support of our time. We support the church with our tithes and our offerings. We support the church in prayer. Do you see what I mean? We support the church with encouragement. You know, one of the things that's most necessary in the whole church world is a whole new flow of the spirit of encouragement. Okay? So the internal is to support and care for the church and also the leaders of the church. The external seeking first his kingdom is winning souls for Jesus. That's it. And if you think about it, if God's people prioritize their lives and they seek first the internal prosperity of the church through their support and everything else, and they make it a priority that whenever they get a chance they're going to win souls for Jesus, then surely the kingdom's going to be advanced. If you think about it, how simple can that be? And that makes it doable for everybody. We can all prioritize our lives and support the church. We can all prioritize our lives and be open to witnessing to people about Jesus as the Holy Spirit opens the way through divine appointments and so on. And the promise comes, when you live like that, all things are added. Think about it. You don't have to worry about what the world's worrying about, because all things are being added. You're just getting on with advancing the kingdom through supporting the church and winning souls for Jesus. God takes care of all things being added, even if you need a wrap, okay? But it's got to be your heart. It's got to be a lifestyle. And it's got to be a flow. And I reckon that's prosperity. At least it's a good start. That's prosperity. Now I'm going to finish, because otherwise I'll go on to the next one. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Judith in a moment, but for tonight, tomorrow I'm going to look at the power of tithes and offerings, because everything God tells us to do has got his power on it. And we sometimes forget that there's power on everything. If God tells us to do something, it's so that his church can know his power. Do you see what I mean? Because God has got a power, and he's always at full power. Are you with me? He's always at full power. So it's like, wow, we need to learn how to put into practice what he says and expect the power of it. It's this expectancy again, you see. But tonight, what I thought the Lord wanted to do, and say, Pastor Judith will lead this and I'll stand with her, but is if there's only one person and you've never really grasped your value. You know, stuff happens in all sorts of ways. Stuff happens in life to all of us in different ways. And it can knock our value of ourselves, how we see ourselves. I believe what the Lord said tonight is he wants to just, if you like, put that right in our thinking, so that we see ourselves like he sees us. Highly valued. The purchase price is the precious blood of Jesus. That's highly valued. We are the apple of his eye, essential for vision and must be protected at all costs. The second thing I believe Lord wants to deal with, if anybody been battling with fear, and I know what that's like. I've had to overcome it. And there's no condemnation if you're battling with fear. There's no shame. It's just a battle. But I believe tonight, you know, the signs always follow the word. And I believe God can just bring that release from fear. Especially the fear of stepping out maybe with money or stepping out in something that God's saying. Fear tries to undermine faith. But when fear is dealt with, faith flows. Amen. Has anybody been struggling with money worries? You know, we don't like to admit we worry, but boy, we do. We don't like to admit it, but we can worry. You know, we have to really resist. And sometimes I've had to repent of worrying because I didn't even realize I was worrying until I started worrying. Do you know what I mean? It's suddenly there before you know it's there. So you just got to be real, haven't you? You know, God knows anyway. So you just say, Lord, I just repent of that. You know, I'm not having that. That just means I'm changing my mind. Repentance is to change your mind. Has anybody been battling discouragement? It can happen. It might be discouragement, not just with money, but something in life, in the family. You know, discouragement is an enemy that wants to stop God's people entering into abundant blessing. And it can hold you down. Have you noticed? It can hold you down sometimes if it's there, but God can lift it off. The anointing breaks every yoke. Anybody been struggling with a poverty mentality? Not because you're mean, but sometimes, you know, like these people I shared with you, they grew up, never knew any money in the family at all. It just becomes a mindset. But God can change the mind. You can switch it, if you like. You can break it and give an abundance mind. And I think, you know, to expect abundance and expect breakthrough, I believe God wants to do that. Anybody's been frightened or battling with debt? You know, there's such a thing as a spirit of debt. We had a young girl come to us once, never had any money. And the Lord says, told us, I said, well, what do we do, Lord? He says, but all the talking in the world isn't going to do anything until you deal with the spirit of debt. There's a spirit of debt holding her over the family in this particular situation. When you deal with the spirit of debt, her mind will be opened and she'll see the truth. And we did that way. We stood with her. It was just like, bang, just done. And she says, oh. She just went, oh. Do you know, I was going to go and make a deal next week. I was going to put myself in debt again. And she stopped it. And it took her 18 months. But after 18 months, she was totally debt-free. And then she managed to get a a basket and a store going. She had a current account and a savings account. She got a tithing in order. She did the full tithe into the church. She got that in order, so the blessing of tithing came. She also got her new car for the first time. And she's only in her early 20s. But you have to break the debt. You know, Jesus can break that spirit of debt so that the mind can be opened not to go the debt way, but to believe God for the miracle way. Amen? Amen. So let's go for it.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.